to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" he answered. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Manu. One of the things that I loved when I looked at the clip was Mr. Rogers, his description of a neighbourhood was a place that takes care of you when you're scared or worried. He said the greatest thing that we can do is to help somebody know they're loved and capable of loving in return. And he said we don't need to put on a funny hat if we want to connect with someone. And I thought it just sounded so simple. What he was saying was we just need to get close to people. So as I was thinking about those things, it reminded me of the parable of the Good Samaritan that we're going to be looking at this morning. A parable where Jesus talks about a man who chose to get close to someone and be a good neighbour. It's a great story, it's one of my favourite stories. But as we're looking at this morning, I want you to be thinking, am I a good neighbour? Am I a good neighbour? And maybe who am I a good neighbour to? But before we look at that, let's just pray. Lord, we want to thank you for giving us your word and for stories like this that help us to know you, but also to know how you want us as your people to be living. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will be fully present here now and will be speaking loudly to us through me, through your words, speaking to us so that we can hear how we okay, so the story that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan response to some questions that another man is asking. So before we look at the story, we actually need to look first at the questions. So what he says was, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us the man's motive for asking Jesus these questions. He told he wanted to test Jesus. It wasn't just so he could learn more or become a better person. He was actually asking because he wanted to test Jesus. And then orphans, maybe refugees, they're all covered in the Old Testament. At no like the religious law expert. We think that eternal life, salvation, is about keeping rules rather than the relationship that we have with God. I think, like the religious man, we have lists of our own. Lists about what we think we need to do. Lists about what we need to do that might be enough to satisfy God. Lists about who we need to love. I think usually these are just mental lists. They're things in our mind. Things that we think about who should be in and out of the church and the kingdom of God. They're lists that I believe often become a barrier to us loving people, to us being a neighbour. Lists that make us exclusive rather than inclusive. I don't think God has such a list. I think this parable reminds us that Jesus didn't have a list like that. If you read through the Gospels, you'll see him love and welcome in everyone, regardless of their ethnicity, their culture, their language, their gender. You'll also notice that he died to break down the barriers and to open the doors to the kingdom so that anyone who wants to come in can. Jesus offered people a new relationship, regardless of who they were or where they came from. So let's have a look at the parable. This is Jesus' story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. Jesus begins his story with something that this law expert is going to be able to relate to, because all of the Jews would have understood what a helpless traveller looked like. And they all would have known about the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, because it was a notorious stretch of road, and everyone knew that it was a space that had lots of bandits and thieves, a place to be avoided. But I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't give us any more details than this. And I think that was intentional. Because in giving no identity to this man, he simply becomes a person in need. He becomes any person in need. And the person who stops and gets close to him becomes his neighbour. Jesus removes all of the things that would go on our lists. And Jesus continues the story saying, by chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road. A Levite, or a temple assistant, he walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. You know, I reckon if this man hadn't been naked and bleeding and unconscious, he would have been pretty happy to see a priest and a Levite coming down the road. You know, I think he would have thought, oh, great, help's arrived. I'm going to be okay now. But he wasn't. Because neither of these two religious men stopped to help him. Instead, they both crossed to the other side of the road and kept on going. Why didn't they stop to help him? Maybe they were too busy, maybe in a hurry, maybe they were worried about what their fellow travellers would think of them, because these men wouldn't have been travelling alone. Maybe it was because they knew that the law said that they should love their neighbour, but maybe in their minds they justified that they couldn't identify this person, so how did they know it was their neighbour? How did they know they might even need to help him? And then there was the idea of touching this man. Because according to the law, if they touched him, they'd be unclean. They'd be forbidden from entering the temple, from serving at the altar. They'd have to go through a process of ceremonial cleansing, and that would be embarrassing for them, humiliating. You know, I can imagine these men, or I would hope they were, weighing this up in their mind. Should I stop? Should I keep going? What should I do? And then before they knew it, they were past him. The decision had kind of been made. They were past him. I remember doing something like that a few years ago as I was driving home, not too far from my house, seeing a man. He was walking along our street, clearly struggling as he was dragging these bags along the road behind him. He was on his own and he looked like he could do with some help. But in my mind, I reasoned it out. I was thinking about the risks and the uncertainties, and before I knew it, I'd gone past him and I was home. I think we often see people in need. I also think we often feel compassion. We often think we should do something, but we don't. Now, whether that's out of fear or uncertainty, or because maybe we don't see it as our problem, or because we spend so long thinking about it that before we know it, we're actually past and we've missed the opportunity. Regardless of why we might not help, the outcome's the same. The person who was in need misses out. But he doesn't miss out in Jesus' story. And I would imagine at this point in the story, the law expert would know what Jesus is going to say next. He'd be thinking, yep, Jesus is now going to say, but an ordinary Jewish man came along and he stopped and helped the wounded man. But instead, Jesus says, but then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw him, he felt compassion for him. And he went to him. Who's the neighbour? It's not the ordinary Jewish man or the priest or the Levite. The neighbour is a Samaritan. Something completely unthinkable, totally offensive to anyone listening to Jesus' story. Because they believed there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. It would be as shocking as hearing that a Jew had been made the hero in a Nazi play. Offensive, shocking, unthinkable. The Jews practiced exclusion. They separated themselves from other ethnic groups. They created boundaries so that they could preserve their racial purity. Today we call it nationalism. People who believe that their nation is superior to all other nations, who support their own interests, and it's often to the exclusion or the detriment of other people and nations. It's different to patriotism because nationalists are proud of their country no matter what they do. In recent years, there's been a rise of nationalism. We've seen it in countries like Russia, India, the UK, America, some of the European Union, but also here in Australia today. And it's ugly. Nationalism is ugly. And in no way does it mirror the kingdom of God. You know, if someone was telling this parable today, it might go like this. A man was beaten up today and he was left for dead along a Sydney road. A wealthy solicitor from the North Shore saw him, but he didn't stop. Then a banker from the Hills District, he saw that bleeding man, but he didn't stop either. But then an unemployed man from Sydney's troubled southwest came along and he stopped to help him. Or a man was beaten today and he was left half dead by a Sydney road. A white Anglo-Saxon passed him by, and then a wealthy immigrant walked past too, but a Muslim woman stopped to help. Or a man was beaten and left for dead today in a Sydney street. The local minister saw him but kept on walking. So did the man from the Rotary Club, but a refugee saw him and stopped to give him aid. Who acted like the neighbour in these stories? It was the outsider. It was the person who would have been least expected to stop, least expected to get close to a stranger, least expected to go out of their way to show compassion. Jesus said the Samaritan went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he took the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said. "And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Who became this man's neighbour? It was the one who chose to come close to him, to care for him. And he became a neighbour because he was willing to act. He went over to the wounded man. He didn't keep his distance and try and check on him from afar. He didn't just say, "I'll go and get some help." He didn't worry about getting his hands dirty. He got himself close enough to be able to give this man first aid. Then he put him on his own donkey and took him into the Jewish town of Jericho. And he arranged for someone to take care of him. You know, this Samaritan didn't just feel compassion. He didn't just think about what he could do. He acted on it. He got involved. And in doing that, he took a risk. See, this was a dangerous road. So the Samaritan could have become a victim as well. And then by taking this wounded man into a Jewish town on his own donkey, well, people might have accused him of the crime. He could have ended up being punished, arrested, even killed. Yet he was willing to take a risk for the sake of this man in need. A number of years ago in Melbourne, 3 men went to help a young woman that they saw being beaten and dragged along the road. Does anyone remember that? These 3 men ended up saving this woman's life. But in the process, 2 of those men got shot, and 1 of those men later died. The newspapers called these men the Good Samaritans. The Good Samaritans, because they didn't stop to think about the risk they were taking. They just saw someone in need and they went to help. Being a neighbour means being willing to act, being willing to take a risk, but it also means being willing to make a sacrifice if you have to be inconvenienced, like the Samaritan was. You know, his clothes would have gotten bloodied from this man's wounds. He would have lost valuable travel time, and now he had to walk. Added to that was the cost, the financial cost, up to a month's wages to ensure that this man got the treatment that he needed. And then for the Samaritan, it was similar to the priest and the Levite, this problem of impurity and contamination. Yet he still went and helped this man in need. And you know what? He did it without any expectation of repayment. He helped him without asking, "What's in it for me?" When we were young, we took our kids on a trip to Vietnam. We wanted our kids to be able to see what the rest of the world looked like, how other people lived and how fortunate we were. And I remember being so proud of our kids as I watched them interacting with people, seeing their kindness and generosity even at a young age. But I especially remember our daughter Jessica when we were in the markets. She was really moved by all of these children, not that much younger than her, that were begging for money. But especially this one incredibly persistent young boy. And rather than give him money, Jessica decided that she would buy him lunch. And I can still just recall it so vividly, her walking down with this young boy to the back of the markets where the food stalls were and telling him that he could choose whatever he wanted. And seeing this boy, his face just light up as he went from stall to stall, interacting with the people behind the stalls who obviously knew him And they were as excited as he was, talking to him about the different foods, and it just became this incredibly joy-filled time. It was great. Now, Jessica had nothing to gain from doing this. It cost her some of her money, and she didn't have very much. It cost her some of her valuable shopping time, and that was important to her. And actually, it cost us all, because it proved to be a great inconvenience, because wherever we went after that, she was like the Pied Piper, and we had this stream of kids following us everywhere. Being a neighbour is going to require action. It's going to involve some level of risk. Probably not as great a risk as those three men that went to the aid of that woman. But maybe the risk of your reputation, the risk of feeling a bit uncomfortable. There's going to be some uncertainty, maybe some inconvenience. But that's the cost of being a good neighbour. That's the cost of getting close to people. And it's what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus showed us how to become a neighbour by becoming our neighbour, by choosing to come close to us, to live as one of us, to show us how even an enemy can become a neighbour. Just think of the people who Jesus spent time with, the people he ate with, the people that were on his list of neighbours. You know, it included prostitutes, Roman officials who would have been considered the enemy. It included the poor, tax collectors, outcasts, lepers, the sick. Jesus' list of neighbours included the same people that the religious lawyers' list would have excluded. I wonder about our list. When you think about who you choose to get close to, who you allow yourself to get close to, who you intentionally get close to, I wonder if your neighbour list includes or excludes the men and the women and the families of the people who live around us. I wonder, does it include or exclude people who have different political or social or religious views to you? If it includes people from same-sex relationships, the homeless, the poor, or the rich, people who don't look or sound or live like you. I wonder if your neighbour list is as open and as varied and as inclusive as Jesus' list was. You know, at the end of the story, Jesus asks the lawyer, who was a neighbour to this man in need? The religious man can't bring himself to say the Samaritan was. That's just too much. So he says it was the one who showed mercy. And Jesus replies, go and do likewise. Go and get close. Go and be a good neighbour. He doesn't give him a list like he wanted. He doesn't tell him who is or who isn't his neighbour. He simply tells him how to be a good neighbour. It's by getting close to people. It's by seeing them, seeing their need, showing them mercy and compassion and kindness. It's doing that so that they know they're loved and they're able to love in return. I want to finish with some words from Teresa of Avila. I think they're relevant for us. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks out his compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. and yours are the hands with which he is to bless all you meet. Jesus tells us, go and do likewise. Go and get close to people so they can see Jesus. Let's just pray. You are the best neighbour. You are willing to act. You are willing to take a risk. You are willing to make a sacrifice and be inconvenienced so that we could know you. And you tell us to go and do likewise. To be willing to be uncomfortable. To be willing to help people when they're scared, when they're worried, when they're in need. Lord, help us to create a neighbourhood that takes care of people. That helps people know that they're loved and they're capable of being loved in return. Help us to get close to people so they can see and know you and enjoy the relationship with you that you have so incredibly, graciously and beautifully offered us. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.